Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to be looking at Section 7 of the CCA Softball Umpires Manual under Mechanics.
So this is the NC2A manual, right? Yep. The CCA manual for NC2A. And Section 7 is kind of kicked off with a paragraph that reads, "Mechanics are the physical part of umpiring. They describe how you move on the field, make signals, and position yourself to be in the best possible location to make an accurate call. They are the series of choices based on where the next most likely play will occur. In this manual, specific guidelines have been developed for you to follow in order to keep all of the elements of the play in front of you. The ball, the base, the defense, and the offensive players. You need to read the play as it develops and adjust your position to have a better view of the action." So there's a lot actually in that paragraph itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's super important.
And some of this we talked about before about, you know, when we were talking about whether, you know, when you have to think or make decisions or do certain things, a lot of thought has gone into that to prepare you even before that starts. A lot of smart people who have spent a lot of years umpiring have been in a lot of situations thinking about the best ways to move you like chess pieces on the board that is the field and have you in that position to, as they said, have all the elements of the play in a good view.
Yep. And that's why the manual is, as long as it is, it's 270 pages long. Yep, mm-hmm. 270 pages long. So there's a lot in here. Two umpire mechanics and three umpire mechanics are both in here. But here in Section 7, though, we're going to talk very specifically about a few things. One of them, in a very recent episode, we were talking about my failure of pre-pitch planning. And so there's some specifics about pre-pitch preparation here in the book, Pete, and we were kind of chuckling offline about the fact that you got 20 seconds.
Yeah, the pitcher has 20 seconds to deliver the ball.
Yeah, and she probably does it in 15.
Right? Yeah, and you do have, you know, yeah, like you said, not nobody, but people don't usually hit the 20.
Right.
You have a couple of extra seconds from, you know, the pitch is received by the catcher, and then they throw it back, so maybe another second or two.
So what are the elements of pre-pitch preparation in the manual here, Pete?
Yeah, so before each pitch, in those 20 minus seconds, because it's not 20 plus, before every pitch, mentally answer these questions. Are my partners in the correct starting position? How many outs are there? Where are the runners? What is my fly ball coverage area? Where are the defenders in my area of position? Where do I go if a partner chases? Do I have any tag-up responsibilities? Do I have an umpire-to-umpire signal to give? Where do I go on a hit to the infield? Where do I go to hit in the outfield? Is there an opportunity for a full rotation? Who has check swing responsibility? What's the potential for a steal or pickoff? Do I have responsibility on a runner leaving early?
Wow.
So that's you can't even give, it's like almost a second per question.
Right. So by reviewing as much as you can before the pitch, you not only maintain focus, but also increase your ability to recognize and respond to the action without hesitation. So for me, as you know, I've been really concentrating on this as I transition from two-person to three-person and back and whatnot. So pre-pitch is different, or the responsibilities are different in the pre-pitch. I definitely don't go through them in this order.
No, and some of them are, it's like a sense of awareness. It's that kind of thing where they talk about as a person walking down the street, a lot of times you're taking a lot of things in. There's a person walking up. You don't sit there and go, where are his hands? How big are they? What do they look like they're doing?
Right.
There's a sense you take a lot of these things in at once. So you thinking about things like, are my runners in the right position? Are my position, my fellow umpires in position? Where are the fielders at? Some of that you're just taking in as like a sense, a general vibe of the field. Like you just kind of know. You're not going, where are the umpires? Oh, let me see. Left fielder is standing here, center fielder is here. No, you are snapshotting some of those things.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And especially some of the things that don't change pitch to pitch on the same batter, right? Are my other umpires in their fielding, in their proper position? It's like, yeah, we know where they're at, right? And if we're talking about a three-umpire system, you know, it adds a little bit more, but it's like we know where the starting positions are, you know? And so when you're working with great crews, you got to worry about it a lot less. But sometimes we just get, I think on my first high school scrimmage this year, a very experienced umpire was, I don't know what was going on. There's a runner at third and he's not over there. Get over here. He's like, look, there's a runner at third. He's like, I see her. I'm like,
maybe you want to go stand by her.
You might want to go over there. He's like, oh, you know, one of those things at the first, you know, first of the year, you know, we're not in our habits yet, you know, kind of thing. But so, yeah, I, you know, making sure that everybody's in their spot, definitely it happens really automatically, especially at the college level and the CCA stuff. Not that it couldn't be missed, but pitch to pitch, it's not going to change that much. But so for me, if I'm on the field, I care very much about where the fielders are standing, especially if I'm blocking somebody. Right? Mm-hmm, so yeah. If in a two umpire and I'm in the C, I want to make sure I'm not blocking the left fielder. If you're in the B, you know, in a two umpire or even a three umpire, if somebody's in the B over there, you want to make sure you're not blocking the right fielder, you know, that kind of thing. Center field now with the new NCAA mechanic to be in the 45 degree there at second base with a runner on first only, you pick where you want to stand. You know, if you're either going to stand on the left side of the pitcher so you can see down her left shoulder, or you're going to stand on the right side and you can see down her right shoulder, and center field is just going to have to adjust to that. We don't have enough space to move in there. You got to see the plate, and so you don't have a lot of space to move. But otherwise, you know, where they are for the chase responsibilities, you know, seeing where the outfielders are, you know, that's an important thing. But for me, the bigger stuff is really, what do I do when a ball hits the outfield? What do I do when a ball hits the infield? And making sure that I know my tag up responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and leaving early, right? Leaving early responsibilities. So those are the four important ones. And like you said, there's like 20 in here. But where do I go if my partner chases? That's a really good one, you know, in three-person mechanic too. They're different. It's a good time to talk maybe just quickly about the difference between a two-person on a double, two-person mechanic on a double, NC2A double, versus a three-person with you three chasing on a double. They're different, right? And one of the mechanics, you come in behind the runner and chase her over to second base, you know, so that you're there to make the call when you three chases. And then the other one, if you're two-person, oh, I'm sorry, that's the two-person mechanic, my bad. Reset, right? So the two-person mechanic is, you know, let her pass you, watch her touch first base, get in behind her, chase her over to second, and make a possible call there. Also, depending on kind of where the ball was hit. But in a three-person, when you go down to two because you three chases, you want to try to beat her to second base and stay out on the rim unless the ball's in right field.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So anyway, a little bit of a difference there. But pre-pitch plan that. What do I do in this situation? That's the important stuff there. Who has check swing responsibility? You should both be watching. If you're three umpire system, you should both be watching anyway. But in NC2A, it's always the umpire that's on the line, even mm-hmm. if it's a left-handed batter and the U1 is the only one on the line. It's always that. All right. Anything else about the pre-pitch preparation, Pete?
No, I don't think so. No, I think that about covers it. Like you said, you hit the major ones, and the other ones I think are, the other ones make sense. I don't think there's anything to mine.
Okay. So the next section, God bless you. The next section on page 52 is called force plays, and we'll talk about the calling distance and working for a 90 degree angle. So the first bullet here says the calling distance is no closer than 18 feet, allowing the umpire to see with minimal eye and head movement all three elements of a force play. That's the ball in the fielder's glove, the base runner touching the base, and the fielder's foot on the base. If you are too close to the play, you will not be able to see the defender reaching for a high throw and their foot on the bag at the same time. When starting at a depth of 6 to 12 feet, which is the close one we talked about in the last, be sure to reestablish your calling distance to at least 18 feet.
Oh my gosh, I see something here that's going to freak me out. I was going to be cute here and say, this segment has a section on force plays, tag plays, and between two bases. They don't cover what to do at first base.
Oh no.
But listen to this. For force plays at first base, uh-oh.
What?
You can't. That's for all my people who say that force plays is not a force play.
Oh, yes. So getting to the definition of a force play. Gotcha. Yeah.
Now, what are they doing?
I'm picking up what you're saying. You're right. That's funny. And so the inside joke to that, there's a definition of a force play. There are plays in the book that act like force plays, right? So an out where the ball and the defender and the offense are involved with each other and a tag is not required mm-hmm. is generally referred to as a force play.
Yeah.
But by definition are not force plays, right? So
because no one was forcing the first base. You know, the reason why you get that at second is because the person going first to second has no option.
Yeah.
They can't stay at first. I would say the person can stay at home plate either, but
that's right.
Whatever. Yeah. I mean, I'm just sitting, I don't know anything about anything.
The coach is forcing them to first base on that, right? Oh, that's funny. All right.
Like I said, I know it's not the definition. Don't come at me and sit there and play semantic word games, but I would say you're the one playing the semantic word games, and the CCA manual agrees with me. Thank you.
That's right. Yes. So the sup's got your back, Pete.
The super umpire has my back.
All right. The next bullet says work for a 90 degree angle from the throw on a force play. Right? Mm-hmm. So when it's not practical or possible to obtain the 90 degree angle, find an appropriate angle that is not straight lined with the throw or in a throwing or running lane. Defenders will usually stretch from the bag in the direction of the approaching ball, making the desired angle for seeing the fielder's foot on the base a 90 degree angle to the path of the ball. For forced plays at first base, no more than 50 degrees off the foul line.
So that's pretty close to what you'd expect in high school as well. So you're looking for that 90 degree from the throw. I think I've heard like 45, maybe no more than 45 from the line. They're saying 50. I mean, no one's got a protractor out there. So it sounds like we're similar mechanic here.
Yep, that's right. And I think for me, just trying to remember this piece, and you have a little bit more time as well. So as the throw is coming, if the throw is coming from third base, so I've got my arms out now, guys, mm-hmm. I look like an airplane. So if the throw is coming from third base, you got to get pretty far out into the field to get to that 90 degree, mm-hmm. right? To get 90 degrees to the throw, which is 45 to the bag. I think that's what they're referring to, mm-hmm. right? So half of that, right? And so you got to get pretty far out onto the field. And therefore you can, if you're spry enough, you can take a couple of steps, quote unquote, in, because you're establishing that 18-foot calling distance. But if the play is at second base, right, and maybe even the left side of second base, you're not going very far, right? So maybe a step in to the field and just make sure that you're 18 to 20 feet back. I had a bad habit earlier in my career of when I would come in and there's going to be a play at first base, I would come kind of in at a diagonal.
Yeah.
And so
too close.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. where you need to be coming in is parallel to the base. If you're starting,
it feels like what you should do. It feels like closer the better or some of that stuff, but because of the necessity to see all the elements, you can't do that, but at a certain distance.
That's
some
right.
people, some fans may want you to be 2 feet from the play. I can see it because I'm 2 feet away. You know what you didn't see? The glove at the same time you saw the foot, at the same time you saw the runner's foot, at the same time you saw the ball's arrival. And so.
Yep, that's exactly right. Hey, remind me at the end of this section, on this force play section, I'll tell you about a play that I had in a game here very recently about a play at first. So before we go to do that, though, I also wanted to kind of talk a little bit about this 18-foot calling distance on a force play. Mm-hmm. So plate umpire, bases loaded, infield's in, ground ball to the infield. Where's the base umpire need to go? Back. I'm sorry. Where's the plate umpire need to go? Back. Like back fast. Because you are 4 feet, right? As you're in your calling position, you're 4 feet from the plate.
Yeah.
And so when that play's coming home, you got 14 feet. You got to get away.
Yeah.
And so that you can see everything on that force play. Guarantee you that's not happening with 80, 90% of our umpires.
Yeah, right? Depends. Yeah, especially if you got a speedy runner, gets a good jump.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. like, oh, you know, so, and you want to be set when you're making the call. You don't want to be moving, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, holy cow, that's, you just got to really think about getting some distance.
That's
you
where
probably
angle,
won't
angle
get 18 feet.
Important.
Yeah, angle over distance for sure. But yeah, you got to try to get back. You'll see some of the better umpires. As you're watching them on TV, the regionals and super regionals, you'll see them doing it. And you'll be like, oh, you don't see that very often on the field, right? Yes. That's a more advanced thing that says, hey, they're paying attention to the actual mechanics. So that's fantastic. All right. The next one says, when the ball's hit on the ground, see the ball fielded by the defense. Watch the release of the ball to determine its path, and then watch all of the elements come together to render a decision. So this is a good one to talk about for me. I will stay with the fielder too long sometimes. If I'm the base umpire, I'll be watching the fielder field the ball and then go, oh, I'm not in the right spot to call this, you know, because I'm watching the play.
Yeah.
And so I've had some feedback in the past that says, stop watching that play. I'm like, no, you're supposed to. It's in the book, but you should also be moving into your spot with where it's going to go. So being an active umpire, not anticipating, but being active and watching what's happening is definitely good. What's the next one?
So they want you to be alert to interference, obstruction, or a collision. I like the separation of the collision portion here.
Yep.
Because you can have interference and obstruction without the collision.
Yeah.
So, because collision could be other problems, right? Was something malicious happen, you know, some other aspect. So it's good to call it separately and call it out as well as to specify the point that it wasn't necessary for those other two. But yeah, you just want to be looking for that. So that means, what does that mean? So as we're seeing the person field the ball and we're seeing the throw come in and putting ourselves in the position, we're also aware of the other people moving on the play. The runner, the other fielders who may be moving to, you know, baseball backup, you know, they may be moving to one of the Bs and
yep.
they might obstruct someone or.
Yeah, whatever. Exactly. Not making a play on a ball. By the way, sidebar, if the third baseman is making a play on a ball and they bobble it a little bit and mm-hmm. the shortstop thinks they're going to go over there and help them. Mm-hmm. And then the shortstop and the runner from second run into each other. What do you have?
I have obstruction.
Why? The shortstop was trying to make a play on a ball.
Oh, you can only protect one fielder. I'm making an initial play on a batted ball. And I'm making the assumption you were protecting the third baseman, that you weren't giving the shortstop coverage.
Right.
I mean, it is a judgment, I think, on which one, on if he plays, but then it doesn't seem iffy. That seems right. Like that's a guaranteed.
Yeah, the only other word, so perfectly done, except for initial play on a batted ball is the...
I said initial.
Did you say initial?
I did.
Oh, man, look at that.
Good
job, Pete.
Hey, call me out. I'm going to... Maybe I'll highlight it. I'll play it back here. I'll put it back where Pete goes.
Oh, man, I'm going to catch it.
Initial play on a batted ball.
I'm going to catch it on the...
You can only protect one fielder. I'm making an initial play on a batted ball. And the only time that's really iffy on which one is people have talked about protected, like a bunt goes in front of home plate, maybe slightly to the right. So now you've got the first baseman could make a play.
Yep.
The pitcher could make a play.
That's
the catcher could make a play. And so you can only protect one. And that's usually when that comes up.
Yep.
Although I think I saw a situation on Facebook within the last, I don't know, 8 weeks or less, where someone was talking about that, where the ball like hit the third baseman's glove, like, hit to them, deflected off them, went to the shortstop. And there, I think there was a question about, you know, who would you protect in this case? And in that case, it's the third base. Ball's hit right to them. It's the third baseman. It's not the shortstop.
That's right. Yeah, it's because of the initial play thing, mm-hmm. right? Exactly. So I did have it happen in that scenario in a college game pretty recently, and the coach came out wanting to have interference. And I'm like, nah, I did not have that particular person as the obstructed, of the protected defender. So, okay, here's a really, really good one. First time I ever heard this. Thought about it, saw it, was the first time I read the CCA manual, and it says, if the defender is already in possession of the ball and it becomes a foot race to the base, the umpire should close the distance to the base and obtain the best angle to see the runner and defender touch the bag. So the whole idea of being 18 feet away, right, as it stated in the book, was to be able to see the high catch and the foot at the same time, right? So those are 7-8 feet apart, you know, in a 6 foot tall first baseman. A lot of first basemans are tall. So they could be 8 feet apart, right? And so you want to be able to see both. Well, if she's already got the ball and they're running for the bag together, get in there.
Yeah.
Get you know, close that distance up. So I really like that. And that's making those adjustments is really, those are signs of really good umpires. If you can see somebody out there making adjustments like that, you're like, ooh, that umpire knows. They know how to manage this game. Yep. They've been in the book. They know what they're doing. So.
So what was you said you were going to mention a story at the end of this.
Oh, yeah. So you won in a 3-umpire game. I've got a throw coming from shortstop and a batter runner getting to the bag about the same time that the ball is. And I've got the ball there and caught, but up the line a little bit, right? So the throw went up the line. Shortstop missed it to the right. And so the first baseman has to stretch kind of toward home, if you will.
Yeah.
And so I'm a little bit straight lined on the glove itself. And then there was a collision. Okay. And the ball comes out and is rolling on the ground. And so I've got every fan in the world that knows softball rules better than all the umpires.
Yeah.
Saying, how can she be out? The ball's on the ground, you know? And I'm like, dude, I got an out. Right. So the coach asks if I could go for help. And I said, well, yeah, I'll ask, but here's what I have, coach. So I've got the ball caught with the foot on the bag, so I have an out, then a collision made the ball come out. It's a force play, so the ball coming out is kind of irrelevant to this. And so I get the crew together and say, this is what I have. Right? I have the ball caught, foot on the bag, so I have an out. Then I have a collision, ball comes out, ball's rolling on the ground, I still have an out. And they're like, yes. Everything you said there was true. The plate umpire said everything you said there was true except one thing. She never actually caught the ball. She was bobbling the ball. The ball never made it into the glove all the way before the collision. And I'm like, oh, well, then that's different. And I was blocked on that. I didn't see that. Mm-hmm. So thank you for the additional information. With that additional information, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to say bobbled it and give the safe sign. And they're like, yep, that's what we're going to do. Okay, cool. So we broke. I said, bobbled it, safe. And of course, everybody's, yay, the ball's rolling on the ground, dummy. You know, it's like, yeah, geez, that's irrelevant to the point. But so there was that piece. And so I guess the lesson learned there is go for help, get help. Somebody had more information. It wasn't his call. The plate umpire didn't overrule me.
Right.
Right? He just said, hey, I've got additional information for you. Mm-hmm. And it was, she never actually really caught the ball. I'm like, oh, okay, well, crap. Then she's safe. So we're going to put her right back on first base and look, no harm, no foul, right? Yeah. So everything's good. So
and so we talked about with the these masterminds putting the chess pieces in the right place. You were in the right place to see, you know, all the pieces. And then he was in the right place to give you that additional information.
Yep. Now, you want to know how we messed up? And if my plate umpire is listening to this episode, I'm going to get a call as soon as you drop it. Where we messed up?
That's not the rule.
I'm not sure that the runner was in the runner's lane when they had their collision. And if the ball was bobbled, then I would say that is textbook definition of she interfered with the first baseman's ability to catch the ball.
Yeah, that's where I was wondering if we were going.
Yeah, and if she wasn't in the runner's lane, we should still have an out. I'm like, oh no, and we forgot to talk about that. We did not talk about that. Now, the coach didn't ask us about
it.
And no one else
brought it up.
Yeah, and so if we had gone to video review, you know, on the play, you know, we probably would have seen she wasn't in the runner's lane and it would have been interference. And,
or if she was, do you know?
Or if she was. Yeah. I don't think she was. The collision happened. How do you collide with a first baseman who's stretching to get a ball that's coming from the shortstop and still be in the running lane?
Yeah, no, have that you, say, collision, yeah, sorry, you said shortstop, right? So yeah.
And so now it's feet in the running lane, last step in the running lane type thing. Yeah, I don't know. So I'd love to see it. And actually, it's recorded.
It could be possible for you to see it.
It's recorded. I might have to go look at that one. But anyway, so yeah, that's force plays.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to cut this episode. So thanks for listening.
Yep. Until next time.